bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We're patiently awaiting the arrival of Senator Stutz here. So we'll kill a little time. In the meantime, just to let you know, we got Chris Elliott, our returning champion, coming up in about 30 minutes. 251-343-0106 if you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. CWA, our text here. Yes, we got a few. We'll see. Jace writes, texter is a little slow in the logic. A president is called president for life, whether you like him or not. And no, we don't need Trump back. Biden's an idiot, but that doesn't make Trump a genius by default. TJ says, I'm dying, sweet tea. And then Gary apologizes for the spelling. Anyway, keep them coming, guys. 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He represents folks up in the Shoals, Tuscumbia, south of the Tennessee River there, if you're familiar with the area. But State Senator Larry Stutz is on the line with us. Dr. Stutz, good morning. How are you?
Great, Jeff. Thank you for having me on today, and hope you're doing well.
We always appreciate getting you on, and actually kind of excited to talk to you a little bit about what you got here proposed. Stepping out of line on number one. We'll get to the medical marijuana shortly, but let's start with the gas tax. Stepping out of line here, and I think you're doing something that's probably going to make you unpopular with it's going to make you unpopular maybe with some of the Montgomery establishment, but certainly with Republican voters, tweaking this gas tax increase and the way it increases. Talk to us a little bit about what you got proposed here.
Well, I voted against the gas tax when it was originally passed. And the main reason, there were two reasons, but the main reason I voted against it was the automatic increase. And I just felt like that was fundamentally wrong. I understand we need some money for the roads and the Rebuild Alabama Act. And, you know, now that's progressed up to 10 cents a gallon. But I just felt like then that the automatic increase was just fundamentally wrong. To raise taxes should be painful, deliberate, and somebody ought to have to vote on it. And for it to just automatically be increased based on the cost of construction, which we know is going to go up, you know, because they said then, well, it could go down. Well, we know it's not going to with the way inflation and fuel costs and everything are now. It's clearly not going to go down. So it's an automatic increase. Period. And I just felt like that was wrong and that this was a good time to correct it while gas prices were high and inflation's high and people can use some relief, even though it won't be immediate relief. It'll keep it from going up every other year from now on.
Well, isn't that the discussion?
So I just drafted a bill to repeal that portion of the law.
Isn't that a discussion we need to have? I remember the arguments for this. Well, we're going to peg it to construction materials. There's an index out there. It's pretty stable. Nothing to worry about here. And as we have seen these last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, you know, prices are not stable. Things have there's supply and demand issues. There's things that could really impact that price later on down the road. We don't need. It's like you said, you need to put it in the court of people that are elected to make these decisions and not on autopilot.
Exactly. You know, you're basically taking away part of the responsibility of the legislature years from now. That's their job. I mean, we are charged with doing that, and you're taking that responsibility away from them from now on with a number that's just going to continue to get bigger.
Yeah, it's never going to go in the other direction.
Taxes are needed for roads 10 years from now, 20 years from now, whatever. But the legislature needs to address that, but it shouldn't be something that's automatic.
It rarely, if it's going in the other direction, Senator, there's deflation in the economy and we got bigger problems, right?
Right.
So that's something to consider. Medical marijuana. I know you were very an outspoken opponent against this, but it does seem like you're willing to accept it, but you think we need some limitations, right?
Right. We need some parameters, and I'm still not in favor of the marijuana bill, but you know it is in place. And I think it can be improved. And one of the ways that it can be improved is to limit pregnant people using it to limit their availability to it. You know, every other medicine, even over-the-counter medicines, and this was one of my arguments during the process, is that we're totally going outside the way we have traditionally prescribed medicines, the way medications have been dispensed. We're leaving the pharmacies out of it. We're leaving the pharmacists out of it. We're leaving the traditional prescription out of it. And we're sending you to a dispensary. And, any other medicine, even over-the-counter medicines that you can buy, they all have a warning about pregnancy. They all say, consult your doctor, consult your pharmacist. Every medicine that we prescribe has different warnings about use in pregnancy or breastfeeding. Well, the marijuana dispensaries are going to totally bypass that, and there's plenty of data for the harmful effects of marijuana during pregnancy. And so I just simply felt like we need to have some guidelines in the bill. Yeah, it's the bill. The marijuana bill is law now. And but if we're going to have that as a law, we need to set some parameters. And so that's my bill. Both of these bills are obviously very straightforward. One of them is just a simple tax repeal. And the other one says if you're going to have a cannabis card, you have to not be pregnant or breastfeeding.
Well, and so
they're basically very, very straightforward, both of them.
And Senator, for our listeners' sake, you're an obstetrician. This is something that you are. This is in your wheelhouse, if you will.
Yep, exactly. And like I said, there are there's just a lot of data about marijuana in pregnancy, and there's information from the American College of OBGYN about marijuana use during pregnancy and recommending not to do it. I counsel patients all the time that are pregnant about not using drugs and not smoking marijuana during their pregnancy, not smoking cigarettes during their pregnancy. Those are conversations we have all the time. And I simply felt like if we're going to bypass the traditional methods of prescribing medication, then we need to set some parameters for use of marijuana during pregnancy. If we're going to protect the unborn, we need to protect them.
Joined by State Senator Larry Stutz here on the program. The marijuana bill itself is, I think, tell me if this is your perception, it's been a little bit of a struggle so far getting it rolled out and implemented. That things, there's a lot of unforeseen situations, I suppose, that the state really wasn't equipped to handle or that they hadn't thought of. But well, what do you think of the rollout thus far? Are you keeping track of it?
Yeah, a little bit. We had in confirmations committee a couple of weeks ago, the people that were being appointed to the commission, to the Cannabis Commission, and I'm can't fix all this where I'm going to be in favor of it, because I'm not in favor of a commission of just a few people controlling all of the dispensaries, all of who gets to grow it. It's just the whole process is fraught with the potential for corruption. But, you know, if you look at there was a very good op-ed that you would I can send it to you off the air. I can forward it to you. It's written by the president of the Colorado Medical Association. And it's recent. I mean, just like a couple of weeks ago. And the medical marijuana was legalized in Colorado 20 years ago. And the point of his editorial is, can after 20 years, can we now finally admit this is not medicine, that this was about legalizing marijuana from day one? And after 20 years' experience, and he cites all the problems that they've had with it in Colorado for the last 20 years and all the things that have gone wrong, and he says, can we now finally admit this is not medicine, this is about marijuana? And like I said, there's somebody that's had a 20-year experience. I think they were the first state in the country to legalize medical marijuana. And so we're following that same path 20 years later. And so I'm not surprised at all that there's problems with rolling it out.
Well, this is clearly, a lot of people think this, that this is the medical cannabis is the foot in the door. And then as time goes along, that people become more open or more amenable to the possibility of recreational marijuana. But you got to get it introduced into the culture first. And they say here in 2022 that is not at all going to happen. That's not our ambition. Your colleague across the river there, Dr. Melson, says that. But who knows what a future legislature will think. Do you think we're heading in that direction?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the other states have done it. You know, it's as we say, history repeats itself. And when you look at, like I said, I just cited the example of Colorado. I mean, this is the path that the states have gone down. But even if you don't legalize recreational marijuana on the heels of this, one of my points in debating against it was it's going to be more available. There is, you know, there's X amount of marijuana in the culture, and that number is going to go up. There are more people going to have it. There are people that are going to have it legally, and there are people that are going to be growing it and refining it and processing it, and it's all going to be done legally. So no matter whether you call it medical or just regular marijuana, there is going to be more marijuana inside the state of Alabama, period. And if you think that's a good thing, then be for this. If you think we have a marijuana deficiency in Alabama, then let's make it easier for people to grow, make it easier for people to process, make it easier for people to sell it. And I don't agree with that. I don't think we need more of it. And since we have more of it, the point of this bill that you were asking me about is to control it, is to say, you know, a Tylenol bottle says, consult your doctor before you take it. So we need to put some parameters for pregnancy on the marijuana law.
Well, one more question, we'll get you out of here on this. If we're going to proliferate marijuana into society gradually over time, but one of the things I think that will be impacted, it's just an unintended consequence, is our criminal justice system. And, you know, that should we look, by virtue of this, look at decriminalization or doing something to where the burden is not on the criminal justice system as much?
Yeah, you know, and there's a move afoot now on the federal level to, you know, for decriminalization of marijuana. The misconception that people have about when you get into the discussion of our overcrowded prisons is that all of these, you know, if we could just decriminalize marijuana, we would take care of the prison overcrowding. Well, the fact is, low-level drug offenders don't go to jail. The prisons are not full of people that got caught smoking marijuana. That's a total misconception.
Well, it's not so much
about
that.
About 82 or 83% of the people in the Alabama Department of Corrections right now are violent offenders. With prison reform, with, probation, parole, all the things that get people out of jail, the vast, vast majority of the people that are in jail are violent offenders. So, but yeah, I understand there is some clog up of the criminal justice system, but that is minimal because these minor drug offenses are all pled down to community corrections or to a drug court or to a fine or whatever. You know, those people aren't really in jail.
Well, that was just my point. It's not so much the prison system, and that's a bigger, different issue. It's just, do you want to beat police having to worry about marijuana and having to deal with that? If you could avoid that and let them focus on, I think, what are the more substantive crimes, if we're going to go down this path, and it seems like we're heading down that way, for better or for worse, of proliferating marijuana.
Yeah. And, you know, we can make the same discussion of alcohol. You know, if you're driving impaired, we don't, I get all that argument. We don't arrest people for, you know, drinking one beer, but we do arrest them for public intoxication or for DUI. And so, you know, you can make some of the same arguments. You know, that marijuana impairs you to some level, and if you're impaired, then you can't drive. And, and we've got, you know, the Aldott runs commercials on the radio about, you know, drive high, get a DUI, or whatever the line is.
Right.
About driving impaired. So, and in a lot of states, impairment with drugs for driving offenses now is higher than impairment with alcohol as far as driving offenses. So,
well,
that's the genesis of the two bills. Is I've enjoyed talking to you about it, but it's they're both very simple. Just, we shouldn't have an automatic increase, and if we're going to have marijuana legal in some form, it needs to have parameters with it about pregnancy and breastfeeding.
Senator, we got to leave it there. Unfortunately, you were very kind to come on, and I do appreciate you taking time this morning. And we will talk again soon.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I always enjoy visiting with you, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Thanks for making time. That was State Senator Larry Stutz of Tuscumbia here on the program. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows